Very few people actually ever hear the truth about what God has to say about this matter of economics.
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today on Truths That Transform, we look at the rise of socialism in America.
Margaret Thatcher, who said famously that the problem with socialism is that sooner or later you run out of somebody else's money to spend.
Is socialism biblical? And does it even work?
Socialism has not been successful in Nordic countries, and by large Nordic countries have spent 30 years moving away from socialism.
We investigate these questions on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. Socialism is making a comeback in our time. Despite its consistently disastrous track record, young people are falling for its siren song of free stuff for all. There are newly elected members of Congress who base their election campaigns on their commitment to socialism. At the ministry, we feel compelled to speak out on the danger of socialism. On today's program, we will debunk the myth that socialism is successful in certain parts of the world. And we will share a vital new resource with you that will help you counter the lies of socialism. As we begin, we look to the unbending source of truth, God's Word. What does the Bible have to say, if anything, about socialism? Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb brings us this report.
While we're at it, Don Jr., on Halloween, kids literally go door to door to get free candy from the neighbors because the kids don't have it and the neighbors do. That's socialism.
And what democratic socialism is about is saying that it is immoral and wrong that the top one-tenth of 1% in this country own almost 90%, own almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%.
I grew up in Canada, okay? We have socialized medicine. And I'm here to tell you that this line that you get on all of the political shows from people is that it's a failure. The system is a failure in Canada. It is not a failure in Canada. We have to say yes to socialism, to the word and everything.
It seems like everywhere we turn these days, there's a clamoring for socialism, whether from leading academics or from Hollywood stars, limousine liberals, if you will, who generously want to share other people's wealth.
In the movies, the themes are that capitalism is bad, it's evil. The free market system is evil. The wealthy are the greedy rich.
As secularism replaces faith in America, we become less free and more socialistic. In other words, the government is controlling more things. And things are controlled from the top down rather than the bottom up. You have central decision makers. That hasn't worked any time in history. It always results in some form of tyranny. And while you think it would unite people, what it does when you begin to force uniformity, you create division.
In short, with socialism, the state replaces God. But the Bible says God alone is God, and we should worship and love Him above all, and not the state nor anything else.
The problem with government overreach and replacing the church is that they are replacing then a real significant part of mankind, a need, a vacuum that we all have to reach and find God.
But some people will point to the Bible and say, doesn't it teach socialism in certain passages? Before he died, this ministry caught up with Chuck Colson, best-selling Christian author and commentator, to ask about the scriptures and economics.
Does Christianity lead to socialism, or are free market economies and free economies more consistent with the biblical model? I don't think the Bible teaches socialism in the slightest. Free democratic societies rest on a three-legged stool: economic freedom, political freedom, moral restraint. What's gone wrong in American society today is that the moral restraint has collapsed. So you've got two-legged stools, and they don't stand up. I think the government has an obligation to try to help people who are in need. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Not at the expense of private institutions. We're close to where 50% of everything is being done by government. When it's more than that, you're finished. So we're perilously close to that. We've got to start promoting things that create free minds and free markets and free people, not constrict them.
I think one of the things that happens when government gets so large is people get lazy. They expect the government to take care of everything. They're no longer relying on their family or their community or their church. They rely on the big hand of government that can give and take away. So there's no more reliance. It corresponds, I think, the growth in government to the breakdown in family and also the collapse of the church as a vital institution in America.
Socialism is scary. It's a soft form of communism. So free this, free that. Ultimately, there's a big price to pay. Socialism is not what we want in this country. Look what happened to Venezuela.
The Bible says we should love our neighbor. Is it really loving our neighbor to wish on them a socialistic economic system like that in Venezuela or Cuba?
And if you want a modern example of why socialism doesn't work and what it produces, look at Venezuela. Venezuela was one of the most affluent countries in Latin America. It is now a complete basket case. The Bible tells us a great deal about the nature of man, which is pretty basic. And the nature of man is, according to Jeremiah, the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If we're going to talk about trying to minimize poverty and to try to help those who are poor, the capitalist system produces more pies. Then you can have a discussion about how to divide the pie. But all socialism does is end up in an endless argument about how to more equitably distribute a never-growing pie. Capitalism grows pies. And when you grow pies, then you can have a discussion about how you distribute the pies.
Critics note that a major reason socialism is not Christian is because it violates the command, thou shalt not steal. And the Bible doesn't say, thou shalt not steal unless thou art the government. It also says we should not envy. Socialism is built on envy. Envy of the wealth of others.
Socialism is a milder and gentler form of communism. Both systems claim that we have a right to what you own. In fact, you really don't own it. We own it. We as the state. The socialists will not say it as dramatically as the communists that say you have no private property. The socialists say we have a right to your private property as much as we can possibly get through government decree. Historic Christianity turned it around the other way and said the individual has a right to his property. The state has a right to part of it. What we need to understand is that if you want to have socialism and you want to care for the poor, you need to begin with your own pocket first. If you care about the poor so much, it should come out of your pocket, and it should. But if you're not willing to give any of your money, but you're forcing laws to make everybody else give theirs, that's a form of theft, and it's wrong.
Contrary to what we are often told, that God would have us favor socialism or communism, we see that biblically the exact opposite is the case. My good friend Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy, the daughter of Dr. D. James Kennedy, joins me now. Jennifer, your dad was not taken in by this false idea that socialism is a Christian imperative.
No, he wasn't, Frank. And that's because he studied all of Scripture and not just a few verses taken out of context. My father was a vocal opponent of communism and socialism because he understood from the Bible that they were based on a false view of human beings and set upon an immoral foundation. Sometimes he was criticized for talking about things that other pastors didn't talk about, but he never let that dissuade him from preaching the whole counsel of God from the Bible, even if others shied away. My dad knew that there was no area of human life that the scriptures were silent on, and he viewed it as pastoral malpractice not to address pressing societal issues. When it comes to the economics of socialism, which are all the rage once again, the Bible has a great deal to say, as my father boldly shares in this portion of his key message, The Bible and Economics.
I want to talk to you about what the Bible says about economics. This is a subject which I'm afraid most of our politicians shun away from like the plague. And very few people actually ever hear the truth about what God has to say about this matter of economics. The Bible certainly has a lot to say about such subjects as these: private property. The Bible makes it very clear that man has an interest in the possession of his own property, that this is guarded by the fiery sword of divine vengeance, and it is guaranteed in the Decalogue, "Thou shalt not steal." Because God knows that for us to fulfill our probation in this world, it is going to be necessary that we make use of the things of this world if we are going to demonstrate our faithfulness in little things, if we are going to demonstrate our honesty, if we are going to demonstrate our charity. It's going to involve the use of private property. Therefore, God has guaranteed it. Now, this alone rules out certain systems, all such systems which deny private property, such as the system of communism or various aspects of socialism which would deprive man of his rights in property. The Bible has a good deal to say about other things that impinge upon economic matters, such as greed and covetousness and envy and jealousy. And the Bible has something to say about work. Many people suppose that work is some sort of a curse which is to be avoided completely, if at all possible, and which we are to become involved in as little as necessary. But this is not the case. God ordained work before the fall. It is not part of the curse. Adam was commanded to tend the garden, to keep it, before he fell into sin. And even after sin, though now it is greatly aggravated by the results of the fall and the curse, and in the sweat of the brow man must earn the bread of life, it is nevertheless true that work still occupies a very important position in man's life. In fact, I think we may be so bold as to say that without work, it is impossible for any human being to fulfill the probation that God has given him in this life. The welfare state inevitably produces more of that which it sets out to cure. The majority of people who end up on the public dole will vote for themselves more and more largesse from the public treasury, to the discouragement of more and more of the fewer and fewer people that are willing to work, until finally people won't want to work at all, and the whole system collapses. Further, it leads to statism and unbelief. Instead of drawing people to the church and to God, who is the provider of every good and perfect gift, it leads them to a more and more secularized state, and it engenders more and more of a disbelieving populace. Furthermore, it leads to a loss of freedom and ultimately to tyranny as we sell our soul to the government store. My friends, let me conclude by saying this. God says, if any will not work, let him not eat. But there is one thing for which we cannot work, one thing we cannot obtain by our labor, and that is eternal life, because it is totally beyond our ability to attain it. There is the only real free gift available to man. And tragically, people turn it upside down and they try to make this life free and ignore the next. But God says that we are to work in this life, but the gift of everlasting life is by the grace of God, and it was paid for by Jesus Christ. Yes, we can grow petunias or turnips. When it comes to a sunset, God says, step aside. This is a job for the Almighty. We can run a church or preach a sermon, but when it comes to the eternal salvation of mankind, God says, step aside. This is a job for the divine Redeemer. We need to trust in him, receive the free gift of eternal life, his meaning and significance and purpose for our lives, then we need to set out and work with our hands, doing the thing which is good. We need to accumulate the things of this world in order that we may have to give, the scripture says, unto them who are in need. That charity may abound and flourish. That we may have a genuine compassion for those who lack the physical things of this life. That Christ may be honored and that his kingdom may spread.
As Dr. Kennedy shared, socialism is unbiblical, and it corrodes the human soul. That's why it has never worked for long or on any large scale anywhere it's ever been tried. Well, but wait a minute. Someone may say, what about the socialist nations in Europe? Haven't nations like Sweden successfully implemented flourishing socialistic systems? Well, no, they haven't. That is a persistent myth, but it is indeed a myth. I sat down to discuss the subject with Dr. Nima Sanandaji, who is the author of Debunking Utopia, Exposing the Myth of Nordic Socialism. Many on the left in America, the left politically, hold up Nordic-style socialism as an ideal for American political economy as well. You have written that that's at best an apples and oranges comparison. How is Nordic socialism different than what's being advocated here in America?
In not only the U.S. but globally, the idea of socialism was almost dead until the left started saying, you know what, we don't want socialism like North Korea, Venezuela, Soviet Union, all of these miserable failures. No. We want Nordic-style socialism. And suddenly they started to have a case. But as I show, the Nordic success story is about a unique culture and a reliance on, you know what, free markets. Socialism has not been successful in Nordic countries, and by large, Nordic countries have spent 30 years moving away from socialism. The main reason for their success is they have a unique working ethics. They have perhaps the strongest working ethics in the world. They have a culture about hard work, self-reliance, helping your neighbor. And this historic culture has underpinned their success. And unfortunately, the welfare state has slowly been grinding down the working ethics, grinding down the ethics of personal responsibility. And I should know that I grew up with welfare support in Sweden. So you see how really the system is supposedly help the poor, actually traps families who would otherwise be thriving middle-class families in government dependency. Right. Unfortunately, the welfare state has partially destroyed the Nordic working ethics, right. And the Nordic countries have a class of socially poor who are dependent on welfare, and welfare dependencies pass from
generation to generation.
So, yeah. Still today, the prosperity of Nordic countries comes from capitalism. No doubt about it. In the Index of Economic Freedom, which is a measure of how much capitalism we have in the country, Denmark has the same score as the United States. How? How can the country with the highest tax on the planet have the same score as the United States? Because in virtually every other way, U.S. has more government involvement in the economy. The Nordics have compensated for big high taxes and big government by having free markets in virtually every other area of the economy. And for the past 20, 30 years, every Nordic economy has been moving away from big welfare to smaller welfare, from generous welfare to less generous welfare, from high taxes to lower taxes, from government regulation to freer markets. So, you know, that's the true story of Nordic countries. That's the reality of Nordic countries. Economic policy is not just about creating wealth. Economic policy is about creating a society which fosters individual responsibility, which fosters working ethics. You see, culture matters.
Right.
And the culture of hard work, responsibility, high levels of trust, solidarity with your neighbors has been more preserved among Nordic Americans.
Right. I think young people in America, if they were to hear you speak and read your book, might be surprised at what getting the thing they're asking for, democratic socialism, would bring them. Loss of freedom, loss of opportunity, destruction of incentives, destruction of your own work ethic.
You know, I think that to understand it, you have to just read about the tens of millions of people socialism has killed. And I'm a moderate guy. I don't exaggerate, but it is. I mean, that's the numbers. But really, I think understand their ideas. People don't understand ideas of socialism. What is the goal of socialism? It is to break down the individual responsibility. Mm-hmm. And that's the goal of Marxism. Not just consumerism. That's the goal. Break down the individual, break down the family, break down capitalism, and break down every institution of the social society, and civil society, and replace it
with
state. One column, the state.
It's been a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so much. Debunking Utopia.
My pleasure.
A great book. I hope it's widely read and you receive much success here in America.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. You're seeing the evidence for yourself. Socialism is unbiblical. It's based on a false view of human beings and economics, and it doesn't work anywhere it's been tried. Other than that, sounds like a fairly good idea. Of course, even so-called success stories have turned out to be myths. And yet, socialism is on the rise in America, with a recent Gallup poll showing a majority of young people under the age of 30 preferring socialism to capitalism. And several avowed socialists were sworn into Congress in January. Our young people believe lies because they've been indoctrinated through their schools and the media without any pushback to speak of from the pulpit or the youth group. That's why it's absolutely essential that the lies of socialism be exposed. We have a resource that does just that, and we want to share it with you today. It's our just published book, The Coming Socialist Wave, Biblical Answers to Socialist Lies. And we will send it to you as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. This important and practical book uncovers the lies of socialism and counters them with biblical truth. You will want to share it with your children and grandchildren and anyone who's grown up being fed the falsehoods of socialist utopianism. And if you're able to give a donation of $50 or more, we will also send you the new DVD program, What's Wrong with Socialism? This DVD features interviews with Christian leaders like Dr. Albert Moeller of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and General Jerry Boykin of the Family Research Council, as well as documentary features on the growing plague of socialism, especially among younger Americans, and how we can stop it. It also features a key message from Dr. D. James Kennedy. Does the Bible teach socialism? We'll send the book, The Coming Socialist Wave, Biblical Answers to Socialist Lies, as our thanks for your generous donation. And we'll include the DVD, What's Wrong with Socialism, as our thanks for your generous donation of $50 or more. So please contact us right away. Your children and grandchildren need to see these resources. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. How many times must a bad idea be tried and tried by different people in different cultures and in different eras, always failing, before finally being discarded on the ash heap of history? Well, socialism and its more violent strain, communism, are just like that. They have been tried in country after country, always with the same results. Utter failure, misery, starvation, death, loss of basic freedoms. Yet one of the media's new socialist darlings, Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez, recently said this in a public forum.
But I do think a system that allows billionaires to exist when there are parts of Alabama where people are still getting ringworm because they don't have access to public health is wrong. Mm-hmm.
My friends, don't miss this point. This is not merely socialism. This is unreconstructed communism. She says that our system should not even allow billionaires to exist. Now think a minute about what that means. If you have too much money, you should not exist. Ocasio-Cortez and her fellow members of the Democratic Socialists of America, and she is a proud member, believe that it is a moral imperative to keep you from earning or keeping too much of your own money. And they are promising to do something about it. This vision of draconian redistribution of wealth is nothing less than Karl Marx in 21st century garb. The same economic views that have ravaged Venezuela and destroyed Cuba are now openly touted in the United States government. But here's the dirty little secret of socialism. As a movement, it gets all of its energy by fostering envy, resentment, and discontent. If the socialists can get enough people to resent the success of a Bill Gates or a Jeff Bezos at Amazon, then they can justify stealing their earnings and property under the false banner of justice. But the biblical ethic condemns this perspective in no uncertain terms. One cannot be a consistent and biblical Christian and a socialist. After all, when God said, "Thou shalt not steal," He did not attach a rider saying, "Unless you can get the government to do it for you." And when He said, "Thou shalt not covet," He rang the death knell for all envy-driven socialistic schemes. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. I'm Frank Wright. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents The Problem of Socialism, a revealing look at how the threat of ever-growing government endangers America.
That's next week.
Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.